It's Debbie, part two, Herald and Review, Wednesday, July 15th, 2015, starting as we do usually with the obituaries for part two of the paper. Mawikwa, Frank Joseph Hoffman, 50, of Mawikwa, died July 11th, 2015, in his home. The memorial services will be Friday, 3 p.m. in First Baptist Church in Mawikwa. Visitation will be 2 hours prior to service time. The family requests casual/camo attire. Memorials may be made to the NWTF, the National Wildlife Turkey Federation, CWD, or St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Next, Decatur, Robert M. Mazur, 91, of Decatur, passed away on Monday, July 13, 2015, in his home. The services celebrating Robert's life were this morning at 11 o'clock at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home, and the visitation was prior. Memorials were suggested to the donor's choosing. Burial will be in Forest Home Cemetery in Forest Park, Illinois, at a later date. East Moline, Barbara J. McCabe, 75, formerly of Decatur, Illinois, died Thursday, July 9, 2015, in Riverwood Rehab, East Moline. Services are 11 a.m. on Saturday, July 18th, in Marantha Assembly of God, Decatur, Illinois. Cremation will take place at Trimble Crematory, and burial will be in Marantha Church Cemetery, Decatur. Trimble Funeral Home is assisting the family. Barb's family invites friends to share stories and condolences and light a free candle in her memory at TrimbleFuneralHomes.com. Next, Minton, Frances Joan, Decatur. Frances Joan, Fran Minton, went to be with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ while surrounded by her family in her home July 13, 2015, after a courageous battle with cancer. A service to celebrate Fran's life will be held on Thursday, July 16th at 11:30 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, No. 1 Bachrach Court, Decatur, Illinois. Visitation will be held Thursday morning from 10 until the time of her service, also in the church. Pastor Doug Bender will officiate. Burial will take place in Point Pleasant Cemetery in Long Creek. If desired, memorials may be made to St. Paul's Lutheran Church next campaign, that's all capitals, NEXT, Salvation Army of Decatur, Cancer Care Specialists of Central Illinois, or Charity of Choice. Tanzius Logan Funeral Service and Care is in charge of arrangements. The family wishes to thank Dr. Mario Velasco and staff at Cancer Care Specialists of Central Illinois. Decatur, Joe Pedigo. Joe Pedigo of St. Peter's, Missouri, passed away with his family by his side on July 7, 2015, at the age of 72. The funeral services were held on Saturday, July 11th at Steiger Mid Rivers Funeral Home and Crematory in St. Charles, Illinois. Burial will be at St. Philippine Cemetery in St. Charles, Missouri. Cisco, C. Joanne Schaefer. C. Joanne Schaefer, 80, of Cisco, passed away at 10:07 Sunday, July 12, 2015, at her residence. A visitation will be held from 4 to 7 Friday, July 17th, at Mackey Wright Funeral Home, Monticello, with an American Legion Auxiliary Service at 7 p.m. A funeral service will be held 11 a.m. Saturday, July 18th, 2015, at the Cisco United Methodist Church, with Reverend Rick Pierce officiating. Interment will follow in Croninger Cemetery, Cisco. Memorial donations may be made to the Cisco American Legion Auxiliary or the American Legion Auxiliary Education Fund. And the last of today's death notices, Marilyn M. Tipton, Mattoon. Marilyn M. Tipton, 73, of Mattoon, Illinois, passed away at 9:20 a.m. Sunday, July 12th, at Springfield Memorial Hospital in Springfield. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, July 16th, 2015, in Lovins Lockhart Funeral Home in Windsor. Visitation will be from noon till time of service on Thursday in the funeral home. Burial will be in Sand Creek Cemetery near Windsor. End of the obituaries. Just posted. EIU president details furlough for workers, cuts in his own pay. The caption for a very pretty picture of the front of the main one of the main campus buildings at EIU. The budget impasse has resulted in the layoff of three electricians at Eastern Illinois University. The closure of University of Illinois Initiative to improve the nation's electric grid and questions about how low-income students will receive state tuition aid in the fall semester. 14 minutes ago, it says. Well, a little longer than that. It's Charleston. A campus-wide email sent this morning to Eastern Illinois University workers outlines upcoming furlough for some employees as well as cuts to the university president's own salary. Below is a statement from EIU President David Glassman. Lee News Service will have more information and reaction later on this issue. And so here's EIU President David Glassman's letter. Dear campus community, there has been much discussion and planning since my last communication, June 30th, with the campus concerning Eastern's financial position and the very difficult and highly emotional decisions that are needed to balance our FY16 budget and create a sustainable and successful future for our university. We have already notified 26 annually contracted faculty that they will not be reappointed for the 2015-16 academic year. It was essential that we notify those affected as soon as the decisions were made to allow the greatest amount of time for seeking alternative employment opportunities. In addition, approximately 10 other annually contracted faculty positions will not be filled. I have asked the vice presidents to provide their division-wide recommendation plans for expense cutting and related layoffs by the end of the month. The plans are to be strategic and supportive of our academic mission and positive student experience. The non-academic divisions have been given responsibility for a larger percentage reduction of their appropriated tuition funding than the academic affairs division. However, because the majority of appropriated tuition dollars are assigned to academic affairs, the dollar amount to be cut from this division will be larger. Once received, I will personally review each plan for approval. Please note the university will honor all notification agreements policies for layoffs. In accordance with the procedures allowable in Eastern's policy for university furloughs, I'm implementing a graduated furlough requirement for administration and professional ANP employees for FY16 based upon salary levels. ANP employees with salaries over $150,000 will take 14 unpaid furlough days. ANP employees with salaries between $100 and $150,000 will take 11 unpaid. ANP employees with salaries between $75,000 and $99,999 will take 9 unpaid furlough. And ANP employees with salaries between $50,000 and $74,999 will take 7 unpaid furlough days. ANP employees with salaries less than $50,000 will not be required to take furlough days. Guidelines for selecting furlough days by employees will be provided by their supervisors. In case of the president, my salary will be cut rather than furlough at the equivalent amount of 16 unpaid days. This will allow me to continue to conduct university business without interruption or absence from campus. In addition to reducing my salary, I will give back an equal percentage of the housing allowance I was provided to support a scholarship for EIU students. Others who wish to have their salaries reduced at the comparable amount rather than taking furlough will have that option. Although critically necessary, the actions the university is undertaking to adjust our budget are immensely difficult and emotional and will impact us all in the Eastern community. No one wishes to be laid off nor see a colleague laid off. During this time, it is more important than ever that we remember to treat each other with respect and compassion. The university will do what it can do to assist affected individuals with support and services and job search assistance. I will continue to update the campus community on developing decisions involving our budget adjustment. Sincerely, David M. Glassman, President, Eastern Illinois University. Next article, headline, woman cited for setting off fireworks during golf tournament. 16 minutes, it's fresh to the website I'm reading from. Silvis, AP. Authorities in Western Illinois say a Rock Island woman will be cited for setting off fireworks during the final hours of the John Deere Classic. Silvis police announced Tuesday that 41-year-old Jennifer L. Winters will face a charge of misdemeanor disorderly conduct. Police say Winters set off fireworks just before 4 o'clock Sunday while near the 16th Green at the TPC Deer Run in Silvis. The explosion caused golfer Zach Johnson to jump in the air as he was preparing to putt for a birdie. After collecting himself, Johnson putted but missed. In announcing plans to cite Winters, police noted her actions caused golfers, staff, and civilians to be alarmed and disturbed. Winters apologized for the incident in a message posted Sunday on her Facebook page. End of that article. Next article. Exhibit to open focusing on Lincoln and Jewish Americans. Springfield, AP. An exhibit looking at Abraham Lincoln's relationship with Jewish Americans opens next month in Springfield. The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Museum will open, quote, with firmness in the right, Lincoln and the Jews, unquote, on August 3rd. It runs through November 15th. Library officials say the exhibit includes documents, photographs, letters, Bibles, and other artifacts from different sources, some of which haven't been publicly displayed before. For example, the exhibit includes Lincoln's appointment of the U.S. military's first Jewish chaplain. The exhibit is a revised version of an exhibit that opened at the New York Historical Society earlier this year. It was inspired by the book Lincoln and the Jews, A History by Jonathan D. Sarna and Benjamin Chappell. Inspired by the book Lincoln and the Jews, A History by Jonathan D. Sarna and Benjamin Chappell. End of that article. Article on daylilies. Check out Flower Bed for a twist on fresh grown food. Marketing program coordinator Mindy Peterson is shown in a picture with horticultural educator Jennifer Nelson demonstrating how to make daylily fritters during the Can I Really Eat My Flower Bed session at Macon County Cooperative Extension Office. This is by Teresa Churchill, a senior writer with the Herald and Review, Decatur. Mindy Pearson's red and yellow pepper vinaigrette is not only another way to use excess produce from the garden, but the pasta salad she put it on also is a good way to enjoy unopened blossoms from the flower bed. Peterson, marketing program coordinator for the University of Illinois Extension, demonstrated how to introduce sautéed daylilies to the mix last week during a free session sponsored by the Macon County Association for Home and Community Education. She confessed to cutting the buds into smaller pieces, however. When you first try something, if you don't like it, it seems if you take a smaller bite, you might not notice it as much, Peterson said. Happily, everything she and horticulture educator Jennifer Nelson cooked up appeared to be a hit with the 18 women in attendance and even got some thinking about modifications they could make. Bonnie Lanham of Decatur, for example, thought the vinaigrette would taste good with spaghetti squash. Pat Malloy of Decatur said she grows daylilies and would make every recipe Peterson and Nelson demonstrated, but like the fritters best. They're really good with a little powdered sugar on them, she said. When sampling flowers, remember that many varieties are poisonous, including angel's trumpet, caladium, calla lily, clematis, delphinium, foxglove, hydrangea, lily of the valley, morning glory, oleander, and periwinkle. Okay, that's the list of the poisonous flowers. So they are, I'm going to repeat, angel's trumpet, caladium, calla lily, clematis, delphinium, foxglove, hydrangea, lily of the valley, morning glory, oleander, and periwinkle. It's also important to know where the flowers come from because they may have been treated with chemicals that render them unsafe to eat. Edible flowers include anise, hyssop, apple blossom, chrysanthemum, daylily, dianthus, scented geranium, impatiens, Johnny Jump Ups, lavender, roses, signet marigolds, and sunflower. For most, eat only the petals and remove other parts and wash just before using. Remove the inner floral parts on most and on roses, dianthus, chrysanthemums, and signet marigolds. Also remove the bitter white portion at the base of the petal. Another option for gardeners who would rather look at their flowers and not eat them is to work vegetables into your landscape. Nelson said if you plant lettuce or tomatoes where you see them each day, you are less likely to miss harvesting them when they're at their peak. Other varieties to consider trying include blueberries, strawberries, sweet potatoes, herbs, and okra. Gardening is in small spaces is a really hot topic, Nelson said. Put your lettuce or your peppers in with your flowers. See how good red lettuce looks with yellow pansies and straw flowers. She also showed several examples of mixed plantings around the mailbox. Tracy Zieber of Springfield said she especially liked the idea of planting tomatoes there. You could stake them right up when they're ready, she said. End of that article. Next article, Living History, Kids Learn About Careers at Camp. A caption of a bunch of kids at a field. Hannah Johnson, Education Program Coordinator for the McLean County Museum of History, points to a plant at Sugar Grove Nature Center on Friday, 20 students from the Museum's History Careers Day Camp visited the center to learn about opportunities in environmental science and other outdoor-related fields. This is by Derek Bay, Lee News Service writer. Bunks Grove. Hannah Johnson wants kids to know there's more to history than the past. The goal of this camp is to introduce kids to the idea there's a variety of careers in the history field, she said of this week's History Careers Day Camp. A skill set that may seem outside the field of history might not be. 20 local 4 to 6th graders have seen that up close and personal thanks to McLean County Museum of History, which employs Johnson as education program coordinator and is running the camp 3 times this summer. This week's group has participated in a mock trial, toured an antique home, and described its circa the 1800s. All right, let's try this again. This week's group has participated in mock trial, toured an antique home, and described it circa the 1800s, designed and created buildings from cardboard boxes, and imagined making a museum from scratch. The camp concluded with a day focused on environmental and other sciences held at Sugar Grove Nature Center. Kids took a guided nature walk, learned about different fields of science, and saw animals and exhibits at the center, among other activities. Zion Williams, who will start 6th grade at Bloomington Junior High School this fall, said he came back for another week of History Careers Day Camp to visit Sugar Grove again. I really like seeing the animals, he said. The center's buildings include turtle and snake exhibits, and campers saw many more types of life during the nature walk with environmental educator Joe Wallace. Wallace enjoyed the group prairie plants, including milkweed and spiderwort, before leading them into the woods for lessons on mushrooms and crabapples. She also spoke about the history of the center, which is on rebuilt prairie, first settled in the 1800s. Jada Olshock, who will start 5th grade at Fairview Elementary School this fall, enjoyed teasing a turtle at the center. I really liked when we went to the David Davis Mansion and talked about how things were, she said. I got to know what it was like when David and Sarah Davis were alive. Olshock said she enjoyed her first ever week at the camp. It was really fun and I made good friends. Hopefully I'll see them again if I come back. End of article. In local people... slash sports news, better than a cubicle. Gerlich wins Decatur Triathlon for first time. Thomas Gerlich was the first through the finish line at this year's Rodney T. Miller Lakeside Triathlon on Sunday. Decatur. This is by Justin Kahn, a staff writer for H&R. Decatur, the $1,000 Thomas Gerlich took home Sunday for winning the Rodney T. Miller Lakeside Triathlon is as much prize money as it is bill money. In 2010, Gerlich gave up his more lucrative job selling medical equipment to become a full-time professional triathlete. Now, 34, Gerlich won the Decatur Triathlon for the first time in 5 tries and earned his 29th career win. It's not a good living, but it's one of those things where it beats the cubicle, Gerlich said. Gerlich is from Madison, Wisconsin, but did much of his training to become a triathlete while working in central Illinois. He didn't have the background most triathletes have. He didn't compete in any sports at the University of Wisconsin, but he had a natural talent for distance running and trained himself from there. Running and biking weren't difficult for Gerlich, but swimming was. Swimming is like a language. If I told you to learn German at age 26, what are the chances you could go to Germany and they wouldn't be able to detect German wasn't your first language, Gerlich said. There's this swimming coach who has coached Olympic medalists. He always tells me I murder the water when I swim. But he also says he's never seen anyone who could go faster with such an ugly form. While Gerlich will hit a bigger event next weekend, the Ironman Racine 70.3, he finds benefits in smaller races like Decatur's. He said the Decatur Triathlon will always have a place in his heart because it was what he called his first big race. I've always liked this because it's a big field race in a small town, Gerlich said, and it serves as a perfect warm-up for my big race next week, which has a world-class pro field. This allows me to get the last hard workout in, then rest and recover into next weekend. It's also a reminder of how far he's come. Gerlich, who trains 20 to 25 hours per week, finished 12th the first time he competed in the Decatur Decathlon in 2008 with a time of 1 hour, 45 minutes, and 34 seconds. By 2011, when he took third, his time was down to 1:32.19, and this year it was 1:23.32. Spin City Cycles owner Kyle May sent me a photo this week of my first race here, and I was behind him on the run, Gerlich said. With the photo, he sent a message that it didn't last long to have come full circle to where I was just the average triathlete to where now I've won it is a great feeling of accomplishment. This is much of we're going to read of that article. Continuing with local people and local events in the sporting page, defending champion takes early lead at City Am. Wes Hillen took a lead at Decatur Men's City Amateur Tournament during the first round Saturday at the Scoville Golf Course. A caption for a picture of him. Mark Tupper, Executive Sports Director, Decatur. He was playing steady and calm, confident without a hint of emotion. But as he stood at the edge of the green Saturday on the 14th hole at Scoville Golf Course, Wes Hillen admitted there was an unnerving thought swirling through his head. He faced a 25-foot eagle putt from the fringe, and if he had made it, his score would have the first round of the Rex Spires Decatur Men's City Amateur Championship would have dipped to a 9-under par with four holes to go. You have to try not to do it, but you are thinking, what kind of score can I post, said Hillen, defending champion. As it turned out, Hillen's putt was well short, and he missed the birdie, setting for the par. Oh, shoot. Next article. Headline, Jameson, blending households, not without challenges. Within a day of getting engaged and buying a house, two heart-stopping events had happened in the same afternoon that might even trump the afternoon of my 16th birthday when I got a driver's license and a puppy. I got right down to what matters. I made a scaled furniture plan. Using quarter-inch paper, I drew a floor plan of the happy yellow house. Then I cut to scale the pieces of furniture, which I slid around the plan till I liked where they landed and glued them down. This is like paper dolls for grown-ups. I was in house heaven, especially considering that for 4 years, my inner home designer had been on mute while I lived in staged homes to please other people. The chance to finally decorate my own home made me feel like a racehorse turned out after a long trailer ride and a big drink of Mountain Dew. Poor DC. He had no idea how much pent-up decorating lay roiling ready to erupt. I made a floor plan, I tell him, hauling out my graph paper mock-up. What took you so long, he said. I slid next to him and talked through each room. What's this, he points to a furniture patch, my blue sofa. And this, my kitchen table. Where's my furniture? I pause. Oh, your armoire is here in your glass console, but I see what he sees. My pieces outnumber him 10-1. You don't like it, I say. I'm sure it'll look great, he says. I just don't want to feel like I'm living in your house. As with like so many likely scenarios in life, I never saw this coming. When my kids come to visit, I want them to see parts of their lives too, said DC. I then did something rare. I got quiet and did some thinking. What I thought was I got so carried away in all my excitement, I forgot one key part. I wasn't designing my home. I was designing our home. So, and as much of that article as we're going to read. Article out of Entertainment, Country Star Carter headlining at Celebration. This is by Valerie Wells, a staff writer for the Herald and Review. Decatur, Los Angeles is in the midst of a heat wave and drought, but football camp goes on and Deanna Carter was waiting in the car while her son did drills. It was 80 degrees at 8 a.m., she said, her southern accent still evident in spite of her relocation. Carter will perform 6:45 p.m. on Saturday, August 8th, on the show stage at Decatur Celebration, and her show is sure to include some songs from her newest album, Southern Way of Life, the first to be released on her own label, Little Nugget Records. It's like a mom-and-pop project, she said, of having her own label. I'm doing it myself, promoting and touring. It's really fun, but a lot of work. She worked at a temporary agency in high school and college, she said, and never dreamed that the skills she learned would come in handy in such an unexpected way. I have to do the office work, too, she said, laughing, filing and office work and computers and emailing. She's enjoying herself, and while she said she misses having other people make the decisions on marketing and packaging, she always had creative control over music, so that's nothing new. I've always produced or co-produced, even on the major labels, she said. I've always written or co-written my songs, even when I picked outside material to include in the creative community. I was very specific and hands-on and vocal on what was going on the record. Carter burst onto this country scene with a multi-platinum Did I Shave My Legs for This in 1996 with hits including Strawberry Wine and We Danced Anyway and has never stopped working since. Southern Way of Life is her ninth album and she's written songs for and produced recordings by a host of other artists as well. You and Tequila was a hit for Kenny Chesney last year and was nominated for both the Academy of Country Music and Country Music Association Song of the Year and two Grammys. All her music is available on iTunes and Amazon as well as her website, www.deanna.com. Everybody's like, where you been? What's happened to you? Carter said. I've never gone anywhere. I've been grateful to always be working and making music, being a parent and being on the road. That's the main thing. We want people to know we've been making music all these years. End of that. We'll finish out part two with a column on produce, storing fresh produce in glass jars. Dear Mary, I enjoy your column every day and love the tips and tricks to save more and spend less. I read the question about finding rust on lettuce only days after purchase, and I have found a great solution. I've started using glass jars, mason jars, old tomato sauce jars, any jar with tight-fitting lid will do. I store and clean my lettuce, cut bell peppers, cucumbers, just about anything that I normally put in Tupperware or glass bag. The filled jars keep the contents fresh and yummy for days, even as long as 2 weeks. It's amazing. I couldn't believe the difference. Dear Stacy, says Mary, thanks for the reminder. Glass-lidded jars are useful for so many things. Filled with fresh salad greens, I bet they look pretty, too. Then, natural herbicide. Dear Mary, this year I'm growing my garden in 5-gallon buckets. My problem is all the weeds that grow everywhere in the yard. I put landscape fabric in the bed where my buckets are located, but the weeds still persist. What can I use in the realm of homemade weed-slash-grass killer that's effective? I don't want to go the commercial route, for example, Roundup, for fear that it might also kill my wanted garden plants. Thanks ever for your advice. Dear Sherry, oh yes, I do have a weed killer for you, and it's so cheap and easy. Fill a spray bottle with full-strength white vinegar, then add 1 teaspoon dishwashing liquid, such as Dawn, and mix well. There you go. A powerful weed killer that kills any living vegetation. As you spray in flower beds, be careful to spray only what you want to kill, staying clear of plants you wish to remain alive and healthy. White vinegar is harmless to pets and kids, but quite a powerful all-natural herbicide. For best results, use on weeds that are dry when the sun is out. Avoid treating weeds on a cool, cloudy, or wet day. So that's a spray. Fill a spray bottle with full-strength white vinegar, 5% acidity. Add a teaspoon of dishwashing liquid, like Dawn, and mix well. So that's the end of the articles for the Decatur Herald Review on Wednesday, July 15th, 2015. This is Debbie saying talk to you again next week.